No stopping. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. Yes, 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. No stopping.
Okay, welcome to the forecast.
14th? Something like that.
14th, sure.
Yeah.
And I guess we can name it the Girlcast in honor of... What's her name?
Batgirl?
No. 14-year-old hooked up with Hal Jordan.
Areja. Yes.
There we go.
Though apparently she only looks 14, is the cover they use.
She's 214.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
The right con. Yeah.
Dog years?
I don't know.
That's actually, when you think that first she's an alien and second she looks like a 14-year-old human girl, it makes Hal Jordan super creepy.
I think he was creepier when she was an alien and she was a 14-year-old.
Yeah, that too.
Human girl. Pixie ears.
Yeah. Whatever floats your boat, Hal.
Whatever. You know he has a big collection of hentai somewhere.
Oh, definitely.
She has that look.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now that we've chased off all of the young children.
Oh, good God. Okay. We're doing an all-girl version of the forecast.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, I'm pleasantly surprised that DC seems to be building up a good... a plethora of female books.
Mm-hmm.
One reader did point out that they all tended to be
blonde.
White and blonde, yes. But hey, there are a lot of them, so
yeah.
It's a good start, I think.
Definitely. It's like a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've got, hopefully, they've got all the crappy stuff out of the way, and now all the good stuff's gonna start coming. But
yeah, they got, I think, a good portion of the crappy stuff out of the way with Supergirl.
Yeah, that was a good... Well, there was a really good run just after Joe Kelly left when Kelly Puckett was writing. And it was like the Supergirl that... It was just before the current guys came on. And he finished the job of moving her away from the horrible, like, Jeff Loeb, Michael Turner kind of archetype. And into just being, like, a girl from Krypton.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was kind of... bookended by crap.
You're
so.
Gonna have to. I like the one where she. That's the thing about the Supergirl series. They. It was good for a couple issues and then they got a new writer and you're like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
But I like the 3-issue series where she tries to save a little kid with cancer.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the Kelly Puckett stuff.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, and Resurrection
Man.
He did
another great job on...
He wrote
Batgirl.
He did... something else. I think some of the Batman Adventures books.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good stuff.
He writes good, I guess, girls who are believable adolescents.
Yeah.
But also heroes, as in they get sidetracked by the usual adolescent crap. But you can see how their mistakes are born of immaturity and not quite understanding what's going on, not bad intentions or stupidity.
Because telling a little kid you're going to cure his cancer is totally kind of a jerk move.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's more just that he writes good characters. So like he knows that each character needs to have something to where you can relate to them.
Yeah.
As opposed to being, you know, like the super perfect whatever or just, you know, a complete screw up or something like that. But, like his Batgirl stuff, same thing. Like, she was clearly not just like a 26-year-old who looked 16.
Yeah.
She was a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And even though her life was really weird, she still had, like, different, I guess, insecurities is the word I'm kind of looking for. But, Supergirl recently has gotten, like, in my mind, a huge boost thanks to Wednesday Comics.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, the strip that I go to, like, it's my favorite now each week.
That
just because
is like,
it's excellent.
Seriously, that could be Prozac.
Yeah. Depression cure, like, right there. The one this past week had her watching TV for like 3 or 4 panels and just getting progressively more bored.
Yeah.
And like Amanda Conner, Jimmy Palmiotti, they did great work on that. It's like what I actually want to see out of Supergirl.
And the cat expressions.
Yeah.
They're doing... In Power Girl, she has a cat as well.
I forget the cat's name, but its entire gimmick is that it's a jerk.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like.
Yes.
Did you read the latest Power Girl?
That's the kind of gimmick for all cats.
Yeah, that is true. Streaky, same thing.
No, I mean real life cats, too. That's probably the most true to life.
These cats hate people.
Yeah. Pet my belly, pet my belly. I claw you!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read the latest Power Girl?
That was... When she was reviewing her business troubles.
Yes.
And they go up to the against movies. That teenage sorceress.
Yeah, the LARPer. Yeah. The bit with the cat in there where the cat... basically poops on the guy's jacket when he has his head turned.
Yeah.
That was... like, again, Amanda Conner, Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, like, doing awesome stuff. But Power Girl is actually probably my favorite DC book right now.
Really?
Like, even above Batman and Robin and Detective Comics. Because it's just all character stuff, even when there's, like, fighting and explosions.
Yeah.
It's still like, hey, I'm Power Girl. I haven't had a personality beyond I'm Power Girl for 5 years. Here's my personality. Like the stuff with her.
Sometimes they go to overly girly place, like while they were fighting the sorceress.
Yeah.
Like, I was a teenage girl during the era that these people, I guess, are from or are evoking.
Mm-hmm.
No one talked like that.
Yeah.
But, so sometimes it just... It goes a bit overboard there, but it does do a good job. It's just a fun book.
Exactly.
With interesting... It's kind of like a slapstick comedy. Like, I'm trying to run my business. Oh, dang.
Yeah, something happens.
The... Okay, I want to say Abominable Snowman.
Ultra Humanite.
Ultra Humanite. Wants to switch his mind with my own. Crap. Yeah.
She's, I think what I like about Power Girl is that she's not exasperated, but she's kind of clearly out of patience fighting these guys.
Yeah.
Because she knows there's better things she could be doing.
Yeah, it's kind of an Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Feel to it. It's like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah. And especially with, like, the LARPer chick, she was just kind of like, what is your deal? What is your problem? Why are you doing this to the city? You know, it's not so much I'm Superman and this ends now. It's, are you insane? Which is, I think it's a fun take on a hero who's, like, she's Superman class.
Yeah.
I mean, she's from some Krypton somewhere, but she has all his powers.
Krypton 2.
Yeah.
Or, okay, we're going to get into that in the continuity clash, never mind.
But she has all of his powers, and, like, you have to make her different somehow. And I think that also her owning a business, but not being a super genius who created all of the inventions in the business, like Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent and everyone else, is kind of neat.
Yeah.
Because she's just... like, good at managing. She's good at people.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, okay, we need to do this, so who am I going to find to do this?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a book I like a lot. Like, great team, great art.
Now, let's go for, I guess, not opposite in quality, but opposite in tone, Batwoman, the Detective Comics. That's very, very stylized art.
Yeah.
And very, in some ways, stiff.
It's
deliberate,
I think.
I think they're trying to evoke trading cards, or not trading cards, playing cards.
Hmm. How so?
Because they all have the very ultra-pale faces. They tend to be to one side. And wasn't the first person she fought, like, the Queen of Hearts or something?
Alice. Yeah. It was like a weird goth Alice in Wonderland.
Who was Alice in Wonderland, and they did have the playing card theme.
Oh, yeah.
At least in the movie. I never got through the book. It was too much wordy acid trip.
Yeah.
But...
That's interesting. I never thought of that. I do
so
know...
So I think that's what J.H. Williams is trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a book where I like the art a little bit more than the story.
Because
the story so far is just kind of pat. It's, you know, Batwoman finds a guy, he gives her a tip, she goes after the villain, and, you know, and then things explode from there, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I think the art makes it, the way it flips between styles and tones and kind of actually feels. I think that's really good as far as the book goes.
Batwoman, I would say, suffers from a problem that a lot of female characters have, but honestly, it's a lot of characters, period. Mm-hmm. I haven't done the research to know if it's disproportionately female or male, is where they introduced her and they didn't quite know what she was supposed to be like.
Yeah.
And so, in one book, she's punching out her girlfriend, which is not good.
Yeah.
And in another, she's kind of flirting with Dick Grayson. Fine, anyone would, mm-hmm. lesbian or not.
True. He is pansexual.
Yeah. And then in this one, she's more the beleaguered superhero, and no one in her life truly understands because she can't tell anyone her secret.
Yeah. I think part of it is that the Rucka, J.H. Williams himself, was supposed to be the kind of definitive Batwoman, mm-hmm. and it took so long to get off the ground. Because, I mean, Batwoman's first appearance was 52, which was, mm-hmm. was that 2005? No. 2006, 2007, around there.
It was
two years ago.
Yeah.
And people still wanted to use the character, so they just either went like, oh, she's Batman, but with breasts, or, mm-hmm. you know, she's generic bad hero. Mm-hmm. When really, like, the picture that Rucka and Williams are painting is a bit...
She's a bit younger in this
one. It's kind of like I think Bruce Wayne became Batman at 26, like year one, around then. I think this is her moment where she's 26 and very, I guess, sure in what she wants to do, mm-hmm. and focused only on that.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, she's trying to get along with her family. She's trying to maintain...
No, that was under duress, because her dad was like, you know, hey, you should come and see your mom, and she's like, stepmom, you know.
Yeah,
like,
but still. Tension. I mean, and she's trying to maintain a relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not...
Well, she tried to maintain a relationship, and then the relationship solved itself.
The one thing that did bother me was that first issue where she's trying to get the tip out of the guy and she's all over him.
Yeah.
And it's a very sexual vibe, which I think is, if you want to take it seriously, that's creepy in the extreme. Like, imagine Batman, like, fondling a woman as he's trying to get her to talk.
Mm-hmm.
That would not be in any way okay. If you want it to do this with us to consider Batwoman the equivalent of Batman, in that she can fight as well as him, she's just as deadly and focused as he is,
mm-hmm.
that's not okay.
I'm wondering if it was...
I'm not sure exactly. I mean, obviously, there's... Why is it okay to, like, dangle him over a roof, but not...
Like, like, grind. Yeah.
But still, that's just... If you want us to take it seriously, it's creepy. If you don't want us to take it seriously, then it's another female, supposedly really badass character, vamping.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason that I can think of. And
I feel like it was supposed to be creepy. Because it's like that weird intersection of sex and violence that kind of comes with superheroes, because we're all ruined now and they're wearing pervert suits. And so that it's almost more threatening.
Does it come with a lot of male superheroes?
It depends.
I mean, they really couldn't get away with it if they were doing it seriously. And if they were doing it...
It should.
For fun.
If the writing was better, I think it would. Because, I mean, you're out, you're fighting, you're wearing tights, it's, like, not hard to read sexual innuendo into it, you know? But I think that for so long, like, comics just weren't up to the level of being able to treat that, like, maturely, as opposed to, like, oh, look, you know, she's wearing spandex, that's super hot.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be kind of weird, and to make you kind of wonder about where she's going. But you do totally have a point where it's, you know, female character, use sex as a weapon.
Yeah.
Did Catwoman used to do stuff like that?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah?
Poison Ivy, Harley, to some extent. it's just for a lot of the female characters, and it again goes to, I guess, where they really fumble is sexuality every single time, where with male characters, if you're saying they're sexy or they're sexual, it's they go out and they have sex.
Yeah.
And with female characters, if they're sexy or sexual,
they stand there with a hip cock.
You don't show them having... It's rare that they show even Poison Ivy. Well, obviously, she have a little trouble with that. But any of them, they don't have sex. They put on like a little show whenever a hero or another villain or someone they want to intimidate is nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, one, at this point, not original.
Yeah.
For female characters, and two, if you take it seriously, it's creepy, and if you don't take it seriously...
You're not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Huh. It's one point where, like, I just kind of wish comics were better overall. Because there's... have you read Empowered at all? Adam Warren's? Yeah. That's one where the way they treat sex is that it's very... Like, okay, it's like a TNA book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has it both ways, kind of where it's TNA and commentary. But, like, the sex lives are, like, they feel more genuine than something you'd see in, like, X-Men.
Yeah.
Because it's actually happy. It's not, like, you know, a display.
Yeah.
You know, like, we fight, she slaps him, he hugs her, they kiss, and fade to black. It's just, like, two people who actually like each other, and their relationship shows it, and it's and they hang out, like, after sex, you know? I don't know.
Let's go to the...
Oh, well, I have a question.
Ah.
Do you like Kate Kane right now, like, as a character?
Do I personally like her?
Like, do you think that she's an interesting person to read about? Because, like, you like Bruce Wayne, is it fair to say that?
Yeah.
Do you like Kate like you like Bruce?
No, but Kate's, as I said, it takes me a while to warm up to characters.
Mm-hmm.
Kate's kind of been all over the map and tends to be in a story gone.
Yeah.
I think the last issue shows her dancing with Maggie Sawyer and kind of having fun.
Yeah.
That's a plus. I think I possibly would like her a little more if one of the fun things about Bruce Wayne is how he pretends to be like an idiot.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's an idiot, sometimes he's the scariest thing around, and he has all these little personas. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it would be fun to see her try to develop that.
I wonder if hers is that kind of weird antagonization with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of where, like, she's clearly the black sheep of the family and relishes it. Like, I don't know if I like her yet, but I think that I could.
Yeah.
And, you know, since Rucka and those guys are on for at least a year, then I'm sure I'll get a chance.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. So, you're the Bat fan.
I am.
What's your verdict?
I'm the Bat Girl fan, but it's another one where it's too soon to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did feel dread as I picked it up, because I was just like, oh please God, let this comic be good.
Yeah.
And right now it feels like so much of it seems to be, so much of the first issue was just devoted to, okay, that's what happened to that Batgirl, and that's what happened to that Batgirl.
Yeah.
And here's this new Batgirl who has that history.
And here's what Batman and Robin think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you could, if you were a new reader and you were determined to read that book, pick it up and have some understanding of what was going on. I mean, there'd be a few, what that happened moments, like Cassandra Cain taking off the Bat costume and jumping off a bridge. But, you know, I've been reading it for a while, and I was also, why did that happen?
Yeah.
I guess that would also be the one of the more legitimate objections to it would be, and now we got another blonde girl coming in. I kind of hope that Cassandra Cain as Batgirl comes back and they make it a Batgirl and spoiler book.
That's what I was hoping.
That was a fun friendship.
Yeah. It was like the Superboy and Robin.
Yeah.
Where, like, one's hyper-competent and trying his best to be grown up, and the other is like, dude, I'm Superboy. I can have as much fun as I want to.
Yeah. Except Cassandra Cain wasn't really the adult of the book as soon as you went out of crime fighting. Like, she had no idea how to deal with the world around her, and Stephanie Brown did. However,
though Steph was her first friend, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because she killed the one guy, ran away from her dad, wandered for 8 years somehow as an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Ate a cow once.
Yeah. And then she finally got friends and she moved to Gotham. Yeah, that would have been a really good book.
Yeah.
And pretty easy. I mean, it's, you've got your set, well, I guess dynamic duo, so it'd be terrible. Yeah.
Maybe they didn't want to, I guess, clutter up the book anymore. I don't know.
It's already kind of cluttered.
Yeah. But, like I said, I think the guy has a really good grasp of the character, and I think it's kind of brave that all the other books and female books and all the actual hero books show them being very, very competent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's both an honest evaluation of the character and kind of daring that he just flat out makes her not as good. She just...
That's a really fine line to walk, though.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you're just reading about a failure.
Yeah. Well, also, like, a willful failure. Yeah. Who's like... You might, at this point, be endangering people's lives.
Though it's kind of late for that, because she's started a gang war already. I feel like that she'll never top that.
Yeah.
I hope she'll never top that.
However, that I just pretend never happened.
Yeah.
So
that's still my least favorite Batman story.
Selective
continuity.
Continuity is your friend with this character. But I just also her motivation, so many of them are like tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. She's just like, I wanna have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to give the finger to my father, but that's...
Is he still dead? Off.
He's alive.
It wasn't the Puzzler. What was her dad's name?
Clue Master.
There we go. Who was basically a knockoff Riddler, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was so pissed when they brought him back. I'm like, you get rid of, what is it, Leslie Tompkins, you get rid of Maggie, you get rid of Renee... You get rid of Stephanie Brown.
But I just kind of left for a while. Well, she was out of Gotham, at least, at that point.
Who?
Barbara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But bring back the, like, Riddler knockoff, because we need another one of those.
Yeah.
Never mind that, but...
You know, my biggest problem with that was that it was in the middle of a story I was really enjoying, and interrupted it for 3 months. That was cruel. But it's, you know, I'm not sold on the newer, angrier Barbara Gordon at all.
No.
And she totally beat up those dudes in the subway for no reason.
I think we're supposed to infer that they were up to some nefarious purpose and that they all, like, crowded around her. But, yeah.
It just looks like they were just walking past and she was like, oh, Tonfa sticks. And, you know, and crippled someone else. You know, way to go, Babs.
Yeah, it's... It's like every single step they take towards the hardcore, I don't like. Every single step they take towards actual humanity, and with emphasis on fun, I really enjoy.
Yeah, I kind of like a, well...
But I mean, that's the fun of the Batgirl book. They do have a character who is flat out set on enjoying herself.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that, I think it was announced this weekend, but apparently in 2010, they're going to do a Cassandra Cain story where she's not evil. And that's one of their selling points.
Who is going to be writing it?
DC never announces that. They'll say, like, yeah, we're doing this story, and everyone's like, all right, who's going to write it? And then we find out it's, you know, like, Sean McKeever or someone.
Yeah. In this case, I'm just like, I hope it's not Beechin.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry, that's just not the same character.
Yeah.
He's created his own Batgirl, and he really created his own Nightwing, because I never understood that Nightwing had a problem with Batgirl.
It seems like it'd be the opposite, because Nightwing is like the cool uncle of the Bat family.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah.
They got along in the, or the slightly older cousin who like, will buy you beer or something.
Yeah.
They always got along really fine, just perfectly fine, and all of a sudden he hates her.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like McKeever created his own characters that happen to have the same name. Or not McKeever, I'm sorry.
Beechin. Well, Beechin. McKeever wrote her in Teen Titans.
Yeah, but he gave like a probable Slade explanation. Deuce, yeah.
Probable.
Well, for comics.
Yeah.
Let's go with this. He gave an explanation that satisfied me in that you were like, okay, that's completely out of character, and
like I can ignore these
why.
For the rest of, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like, if anything, Nightwing and Batgirl should have been maybe the closest of the Bat family, because they're the two who are by far the most dedicated to Bruce Wayne. Because even Batgirl was like, you know, I'm fighting crime to atone, and because of the Bat.
I remember, okay, I just actually saw this at Scans Daily, but someone said that it's like 1 year later and she'd moved to Bloodhaven,
mm-hmm.
and how Nightwing described Bloodhaven as Gotham's ugly stepsister.
Yeah.
And she didn't understand what that meant, so he like acted out the story.
Yeah. You that's don't do that for someone like, you hate.
Yeah, that's how I feel that this... that relationship could have gone and would have been more fun.
Yeah.
To see.
And they're also both really acrobatic.
Yeah.
I don't know, it seems like there's so many points where like their interests coincide 100%.
Mm. But anyway, if there's a Cassandra Cain book coming up in 2010 and Beechin is not writing it, no offense, sir, I'm sure yeah. you write very good comics, you're just I'm not interested in those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would really like to see that, and I would hope would be like an ongoing.
I don't know if they could. Well, I don't know if DC would do two Batgirl books like that, because she's still people. I mean, she's still Batgirl.
Yeah,
know?
But at the end of her, I would like it to see it pick up at the end of her miniseries, or not miniseries, her series where she was just like, I'm not really Batgirl. I'm just a girl named Kane, and then she goes off to really find what she wants to fight for.
Yeah,
I could understand that.
Which I just got is a Kung Fu reference, like walking the earth to find.
Oh.
Oh man.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it really would.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Batgirl mystery, like the Who is the Batgirl? Which there's still like the first four covers, I think, are.
Yeah. I did not like that.
Hmm.
And it seems like a lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe 3 months I would have liked it. 7 months.
So it started too soon?
Yeah.
I feel like, so Marvel just did something similar recently with Black Panther, with mm-hmm. Who is the Black Panther. And if you'd switched the two plans, mm-hmm. like it would have been much better. So like the Batgirl run-up was the Black Panther run-up and the Black Panther run-up was Batgirl's run-up. Because we all knew who the Black Panther was going to be. Because it's been set up, like, seriously since issue 5 of the first series. And in interviews, you know, Hudlin has said, like, oh yeah, the one day his little sister's going to be Black Panther. So there's kind of not really a mystery at all.
Yeah.
But with Batgirl, there actually was, because it could have been Cassandra, it could have been a rejuvenated Barbara Gordon, depending on how Oracle the Cure went.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was expecting, was, you know, her legs get healed and she puts the suit back on, and Batgirl is older than Batwoman. Or it could have been, you know, Stephanie, which it ended up being.
It could have been Calculator's daughter, Wendy.
Yeah, that too.
It could have been Misfit.
Who I think might be... she's supposed to be in the series regularly or something like that?
I have no idea. Where did
Maybe
you
it was
that?
A cover. There was a cover where it's like a shadowed Batgirl kicking someone in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like Misfit's outline with like the cargo shorts and all.
Hmm.
So I don't know. But it's... I think Batgirl had the better mystery, but Black Panther had the better mystery campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there were, like, mock-up posters of, you know, who is the Black Panther, and they put faces on the cover. So it's like, Sue Storm, actual Storm, Black Panther's sister, and mm-hmm. it was really neat. But, you know, there was no mystery. We already knew if you'd read an issue of the series.
Honestly, I feel like there was so much... there's so much baggage
mm-hmm.
around all the characters. I mean, there were little internet flare-ups around Barbara Gordon and Stephanie Brown
mm-hmm.
and Cassandra Cain over the Beechin Turning Evil series. It was hard to get in the lighthearted spirit.
Yeah.
Because some fan is always going to be like... Rawr!
Swearing death upon.
And I'm not saying that that fan is always going to be me, but at least at some points it will. And so, I don't know. I've never found that I enjoy suspense.
Hmm. I think when it's used well, it can it can really make a series fun. 100 Bullets was really good at it. Because actually, when I say fun, really what I mean is you can't wait for the next issue. You're like, I gotta get the next one right now. And 100 Bullets was like that because you, it would end on a cliffhanger, and the next issue was the beginning of another story. And you're just like, oh my goodness, I've gotta know. But you're not like frustrated, gotta know. Mm-hmm. It's you're interested. But with like the Batgirl thing, I think it's more just that you're like, get it over with. You know?
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna disappoint me, let me know.
And there isn't much to run on at that point. You get the covers and you're like, okay, these are the people it can be. There's nothing more to say.
There's no, you know, mention in another series or something like that. It's interesting stuff.
But still, I feel like Stephanie can lift Barbara out of that. I'm angry.
And they
obviously set up the detective as a love interest for Barbara and kind of a foil for Stephanie.
I didn't even... Yeah, that makes sense. But when did Barbara become angry?
Oh, they did a really unfortunate... Oh, good Lord. They moved her to Platinum Flats and they're like... The Joker is coming to Platinum Flats. He will face up with... Barbara Gordon again, face to face for the first time. You're like, one, he met up with Barbara Gordon, I think either issue 8 or like 18 of Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
So that's already happened.
I feel like that's the go-to point for any Barbara Gordon story is she gets revenge on the Joker.
And two, when they actually got to it, what happened was she, one, just flat out led him into her hideout because she thought it was a police officer.
That's nice.
Two, lied to him and until he basically said, okay, it's not worth doing anything. And then he walked off and then he remembered that she was the woman he'd shot. And then he came back and like beat the living crap out of her and threw her down the stairs. And then her friends showed up to, and then he like ran off.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god!
I guess that also make me pretty angry.
That is just terrible.
Yeah, that was Tony Bedard towards the end of Birds of Prey, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. Yeah, it's just... I feel like in tone, Batgirl should be kind of like Robin. Mm-hmm. Where she still, you know, she wears the black or purple or whatever color her costume is.
Blue.
But she's still happy, you know?
Yeah.
She's not Batman.
Yeah.
Like, even Barbara Gordon, actually, she has the same motivation as Stephanie. Like, when Barbara was Batgirl, was that she just wanted to go out and have fun and fight crime. Huh. I wonder if that's what they're going to get at.
I think so, and I hope so. I mean, the covers, if you look at them, have been very kind of retro and promising a certain amount of fun.
Phil Noto's done a great job on those.
Yeah. You can't always tell by them, but...
Yeah. Here's hoping, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
What else? So we've got Power Girl, Batgirl, Supergirl. What else does DC have? Batwoman. Wonder Woman, which I still haven't read.
Wonder Woman's coming out of its slump.
Mm-hmm.
It was another one of those where... They had the, was it Rise of the Olympian?
Yeah.
Where the payoff was actually very good, but by the time we got there, it had been 9 months.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, no.
Way too long. There was an Iron Man story, which is on, like, part 9 now. And at a certain point, like, you just need to be like, listen, you're not Watchmen. Like, you know, keep it short and sweet, because this is being dragged out way too long.
And it wouldn't have been, like, if there was something going on in the background, and that took 9 months, fine. But if it's the same story,
it gets kind of old.
And what you're just saying is, like, and next month you'll find out. And next month, the shocking new discovery.
Yeah.
after the better part of the year, no. However, right now they've Wonder Woman has cast off her gods and says she's no longer an Amazon. Keeps the powers,
hasn't
though.
She done that before?
I don't think so.
Huh. Maybe. Oh no, the gods left after.
Yeah.
I forget the crossover Infinite Crisis.
She's
something.
Just like, at this point, you're just playing with people's lives, and I hate you.
Yeah. That's
and then she
cool.
punches Zeus in the face. Yeah, it was cool. And what sparked this was Zeus brought Achilles to rule Amazon Island and said basically, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You can all be wives and mothers now. I am relieving you of your terrible burden of, like, independence and vigilance. And the Amazons are just, we hate this guy.
Yeah.
So what's going on right now is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The fact that it took that long to get there, I think, shook off a lot of people. Mm. Including me for a while. But now I'm back.
I've been watching Mad Men, finally, after owning the DVD set for, like, 6 months. And, like, the, I guess, sexism and racism is kind of surprising. Because, like you said, like, the Amazons are instantly like, oh yeah, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
You know, you'll never see that in Mad Men because it was 1960. Mm-hmm. But we've been trained to expect it, so you're always waiting for that moment when someone's like, you know what, you're a terrible person. And it's never going to happen.
Yes.
So basically, I'm saying 2009 is pretty awesome. And so I think Catwoman, Gotham City Sirens. I forgot about that.
Oh god, let's just forget about that.
Yeah, Scott Lobdell wrote the new issue. He did, he helped run the X-Men into the ground when I stopped reading comics.
Well, I'm not looking at that art ever.
Yeah.
You can't make me. No one can. So.
Yeah, it's not my taste. Like, I love the Riddler. He's probably my favorite Batman villain. And, no, thank you. So that's everybody, I think.
Now let's clash.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that Marvel has a lot of female heroines. I guess that's
true.
Redundant.
It's a shame that I'm so ignorant about them. I like the...
Most of them suck, to be honest.
Was it Dan Slott?
Yeah.
She-Hulk series?
That stuff was pretty good. Miss Marvel right now is boring. She died, like comic book died, where she exploded in the sky. Yeah. And then she came back, but there were five of her, and they were different colors, like a rainbow. Kind of like Red and Blue Superman. Mm. Then they merged, and now she's suddenly very angry. I'm like, we gotta go fight up and beat up these people, blah, 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 blah. I'm bored with it, honestly. Beyond that, like, I don't know.
Anger is a personality.
Yeah. Anger incarnate, I guess, is her new gimmick. I feel like Marvel could... they've got so many... I guess, I hate to say strong female heroes because it's a total cliche,
yeah.
But strong female heroes. And they could, like, people would read a Storm series, a Misty Knight series. Susan Storm from Fantastic Four would be awesome in her own solo book.
Hmm.
But I guess it's just either they aren't getting pitches or...
There's Kitty Pryde, there's Jubilee.
Yeah, though Jubilee is depowered and Kitty is floating in space in a giant space bullet.
All right.
Which actually leads pretty well into a continuity off.
Okay.
You want to go first?
I'll go first with Power Girl.
All right.
Who, I'm not kidding, her origins are so confusing that in one series, a guy named Psycho Pirate used them to try to drive her insane.
I think that happened to a lot of comics readers, too. So. Based on a true story.
Yeah. Let's see. She started off with, Earth 2,
mm-hmm.
Kal-El, just big L,
yeah.
Got shot towards Earth, and Kara Zor-El
mm-hmm.
also got shot towards Earth, but her spaceship malfunctioned, so she arrived like in her 20s,
okay.
Which gotta suck, but she was in suspended animation.
Yeah.
And like in a virtual world, she actually, the three go-to things for problem kids are other dimension,
mm-hmm.
suspended animation, and virtual world. And she actually hits all three.
Nice.
Because World 2 implodes,
mm-hmm.
when they got rid of the multiverse, she got shipped over to Earth, whatever the hell the actual Prime. DCU
oh,
is.
Oh, Earth 1.
Earth 1. Yeah. Earth Prime is us.
Home to Superboy Prime.
Yeah. And there she basically had the powers of a Kryptonian
mm-hmm.
for a while. She did that. I have a big hole in my blouse thing because I had the super shield, but I rip it off because I don't know who I am.
Yeah, and I don't know how to sew.
Yeah. And apparently all that millionaire money should go to something other than a costume.
Yeah.
Until they decided that, no, she was not a Kryptonian. She's an Atlantean.
Because that's totally the same thing.
Where, yeah, she was the daughter of the Atlantean sorcerer Arion,
mm-hmm.
who put her in suspended animation, haha,
mm-hmm.
for like 20,000 years.
So she's an old Atlantean, too?
Yes.
Okay.
And people are like, okay, why does she have all the powers of a Kryptonian and none of the powers of an Atlantean?
Yeah.
And so they put her in the JSA, and she fought a guy called the Gray Man,
mm-hmm.
who literally beat the Kryptonian out of her.
Wow.
Like, beat her up so badly that Superman was called in to, like, save her to do the surgery, I guess, quickly enough, and use his heat vision to open up her, like, Kryptonian flesh.
Yeah.
I can only hope that he, like, dumped some anesthesia in while he was in there, because, ow.
Yeah, it sounds pretty terrible.
And after that, she could fly, which is still not Atlantean, but no more heat vision, no more, like, super enhanced hearing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is strange, because Atlanteans actually have super advanced hearing. Also,
really?
She can't talk to fish, because they hear stuff through the water.
Okay.
Even though, technically, sound carries better through water, I guess they didn't.
So they can hear things across the world through
yeah.
water.
And then, in the most bizarre twist of her storyline, she experienced in, like, a Showcase 93, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
issue, she experienced a mystical pregnancy, which is another kind of go-to thing for the girls.
Yeah, Miss Marvel's had one.
Yeah.
Gave birth to her own husband, rapist. Yeah.
Yeah. she just gave birth to a mystical savior child,
mm-hmm.
Equinox, who, like, literally grew up immediately, went off into the sunset on, like, a dolphin, and was never heard from again. And never spoken of again.
That's probably for the best, like,
yeah.
all things considered.
At which point they're like, what the living crap is that?
Yeah.
All of it. Get rid of it. Make her a Kryptonian again. At which point Psycho Pirate tormented her, strapped to a giant tuning fork, revealed that she was actually Kryptonian, and she would bring about the world coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's just in New York starting a business and having a mean cat. So I like that a lot better.
For the first time, she's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I brought a knife to a gunfight because Elektra's nowhere near that complicated. But she has been mistreated for like 20 years straight.
Oh.
Which is always fun. But basically, Elektra Nachios, I guess mm-hmm. is how you pronounce her last name, was created by Frank Miller in the early 80s. And she was basically Daredevil's evil twin, kind of in concept,
mm-hmm.
where she had the tragedy that changed her life. And instead of becoming a hero, she kind of went down a dark route. And basically, she was Daredevil's college girlfriend. They were, you know, totally in true love. Then her father gets killed while Daredevil fails to capture him. And she doesn't blame him, but she is saying, but her position is that, like, we can't be together anymore. I can't take this. Which, you know, interesting, kind of mature.
Fails to capture the villain?
Basically he fails to keep her father from getting shot.
Oh.
When he storms the room and, you know, the villains go crazy. So she gets on a plane and goes and becomes a ninja. In Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. But she joins the ninja cult that spawned the guy who taught Daredevil how to use his powers. Basically the good ninjas. But she's too, I guess, both full of herself and angry to fit in. So she ends up getting kicked out. Oh. So, of course, the evil ninjas are like, oh, yes, we've got another one.
You really need, the good ninjas need some sort of transitional program.
Yeah, like a probation period or something. Where it's or like, counseling. Listen, you messed up once, but you know what? We've got a doctor here. Leonard Sampson, the Hulk psychiatrist. That'd be awesome.
So many successes for that one.
Yeah, exactly. It could always be worse. But she joins the bad ninjas, and in the process of training her, they also brainwash her, so she's pretty much evil. Mm. And I want to say there might be some mind wiping in there, like she doesn't have all of her memories.
I would love to see their sales pitch. We'll turn you evil and brainwash you.
Yeah, but the money is great, and we've got a free villa on the Riviera. So she comes back to New York once Matt Murdock's all grown up, he has a career, they're both much older, and they do the kind of Batman Catwoman flirting, running across the rooftops thing. Mm-hmm. And it's all well and good until Bullseye kills her. Or rather, he stabs her through the chest with her own Psi, which is weird because Psis aren't supposed to be sharp. And then she crawls bleeding to Matt Murdock's house where she dies on his doorstep in his arms.
Good God.
Yeah. In the 80s, I'm sure it was, you know, like, stunning. You know, like, kind of very sad, heartbreaking. Now it's just like, oh, well, at least it wasn't a refrigerator. But, so she's dead. Totally dead. Frank Miller's like, yep, we killed her. She's never coming back. It'll be a tragedy forever. So Marvel brings her back. Well, first, Frank Miller has a story called Elektra Lives Again, where she kind of comes back to life, but dies at the end of the story, too.
Okay, well, he started it then.
Yeah. But it was supposed to be the final word, like, hey, it's done. This is Elektra. But he wrote a story called Elektra Assassin, which was drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz, which was this crazy, like, all kind of, there's like collage and 3D art and just crazy art styles. Mm-hmm. Very trippy story. It was more of a, I could see Grant Morrison writing it, more so than Frank Miller, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting. But it's a flashback story of things she did before she came back to New York and died. Which was actually helping assassinate a presidential candidate who was possessed by the evil ninjas and putting someone else's mind in his mind. And pretty much she knows a guy who was president for a little while, which they never mention anymore, but it totally happened. So anyway, Frank Miller leaves Marvel. He does like Batman Year One, Dark Knight Returns, all this great stuff. And no sooner does he leave Marvel, maybe 2 or 3 years later, it's like 90, 91-ish.
So basically, as soon as he left, they started planning it.
Yeah.
Okay.
She comes back to life. And instead of being kind of a tragic figure, she is the typical super sexy female anti-heroine.
Wow.
So, you know, she'll kill dudes, but she'll kill guys in a bikini, because that's what women do, apparently.
Yeah.
And so the next 15 years of Elektra are unreadable.
I know, I wouldn't be caught dead killing a guy in a one-piece. What am I, my grandmother?
That's what she was. Actually, Elektra, Psylocke, and Miss Marvel have the same costume, which is pretty much a one-piece with a sash. Which, I don't get it. But, so like, seriously, there's like 15 years of stories featuring Elektra that are no good. And then, past all that, just recently, Mark Miller used her in Wolverine Enemy of the State, where she was generic ninja spy girl. That was okay. That was inoffensive compared to the rest of her stories.
It sounds like she's hitting the marks for the generic female character.
Yeah, she pretty much did.
Turning evil, dying.
Oh, yeah.
Sexy, flirts with the hero.
Yeah.
Did she have a mystical pregnancy or any kind of pregnancy?
Because no,
you need one of those.
There was this kind of creepy, vaguely sexual thing between her and the monster that runs the evil ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a relationship, but more like kind of how Dracula has a connection to the women that he bites. How that's mm-hmm. like a sex metaphor. It was like that. Or it was meant to like unsettle you as opposed to like... But just recently was the first Elektra story I can say that I genuinely liked in years was Dark Reign Elektra, mm-hmm. where she'd been kidnapped by aliens at some unknown point in time and replaced. They're shapeshifters. So for years on Earth, there was a green alien pretending to be Elektra and just ruining things, killing people, doing whatever she wanted, and getting information for an alien invasion. The aliens invade. This is called Secret Invasion. So they invade by uncloaking all of their ships all over the planet and invading Times Square.
Well, these are those Skrulls that I've heard so very much about.
With the chins, yeah.
And the green eyes, yes.
Yeah, Secret Invasion, not so much. But, yeah, so they invade, they get killed because a bunch of heroes in Central Park beat up their leader and killed her. And all the heroes that they kidnapped, instead of killing, were just, like, hanging out on their ship. So they come out, Elektra's free, basically. And the first thing they do is arrest her because she's still an assassin. And pretty much Dark Reign Elektra was about her first escaping from the new, I guess, spy organization, mm-hmm. Hammer, that a villain runs. And then finding out, like, when she was captured and exactly why people are trying to kill her. And it was a story that actually got back to her being, like, not just sexy ninja spy. It was, like, a genuine tragic figure. Because at the end, this tragedy that she thought she didn't do, she totally did. On Ooh. Purpose. Yeah. And there's this bit where she's like, you know, these guys want to kill me, but I didn't do what they think they did. So we're going to talk about it. And if possible, I will not shed their blood. Which, nice. You know, that's really good of her. And then she gets there. They fight and they stop. And the guy who runs Hammer, Norman Osborn, it's like, no, we know when you were taken. And when this ship crashed into the Earth, they have the giant helicarriers. Kind of like, basically floating battleships, which are a great idea to have in U.S. airspace. Hmm. Like, she flashes back. He's like, every time you've died and resurrected, which has happened 3 or 4 times now, you use ninja tricks to clear your mind of, like, the pain and things that happened just before you died. Which she did. And he's like, do it again right now and look at your old memories. And she does it. And she was the one who stormed the ship. She was undercover as a bad guy. And all the, like, guards on the ship are like, listen, you can't do this. There's 300 of us on this ship. You're going to kill us all. And she's like, you know, I'm Elektra Natchios. Not even the stars are safe in the sky. And
it's, okay, that's a good line.
Yeah, it's a really good line. And it's been echoed throughout the book. And it's kind of like, she doesn't know what it means. And when she finally realizes, she's like, oh, I did do this. And at the end of it, at the end of the book, you know, the bad guy's like, well, now we both know what you are. You're a monster. And it's just a picture of her face, and she doesn't look sad, but it's kind of clear that she's not happy.
Of course not. She's in the sky with all those unsafe stars.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's a good story in that it's finally back to how she should be. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not just generic woman character, you know, square peg for a square hole. Mm-hmm. She actually has a brain. Because for a while, she was basically Cassandra Cain. Where it's like, oh, you need a story with a character who no one cares about? There you go. Write her however you like. Nowhere near as bad as Power Girl, but I bet there are more bad Elektra stories than there are Power Girl stories.
You are probably right.
Yeah.
Plus, Power Girl did get that time in the, was it Justice League International?
Oh, yeah. With the, oh, that costume was so bad. With the sweatband? Or was that Black Canary?
That was Black Canary. Or was it Justice League Europe, whatever. She was hanging out with Booster and Beetle, and her cat was getting into problems.
Yeah.
Really, you can tell which are the good Power Girl stories because she has a cat in the good ones.
That's interesting. That's probably
and
true.
And the good Supergirl stories.
Oh, yeah, with Streaky, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
I'll say draw. Because both are in good stories now, so it's not quite as horrific as it could be.
Yeah, plus yours has the longer history of...
Yeah, constant.
Extreme ill use.
It's like, hey, look, Bikini Girl, you know. I think she crossed over with, like, Witchblade once or twice. Or maybe that was Psylocke. Same costume. Like, I honestly can't tell them apart in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good stuff. That was our girl cast.
That's our girl cast.
Dedicated to William Moulton Marston, who I'm sure would have appreciated having a podcast dedicated entirely to women. But check us out next week and review us on iTunes if you like us. Or if you don't, it's up to you. And we'll catch you later. No stopping.
o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping.